you, Lord. He loves us. Woo. Such a love. I don't do it justice. How about you, as far as my love for him? And I feel like I'm always leaving something there. It's like I need more of it for him. And he knows that, and he knows we're trying. He knows those things that are obstacles within our lives, and he gives us grace, and he gives us mercy, and let's just keep pressing on, amen? And that's what it's about, is pressing on to have more of him. Jesus, Jesus. Well, what a week. I've had this message now for a few weeks, and different things have come up and all, and I didn't know sharing it of today or whatnot, and then it kind of led into the whole process. And it's going to be that of focusing on love. Love. And we know that's what motivates God, is his love for us, you know, and his desire for us. And so it should motivate us as well. The love that we have should motivate us to do things, don't you think? And what a great example. And it just touched my heart yesterday. And you know, those that were here know what I'm talking about. We had such an outpouring from this body to help with a funeral luncheon. It's been probably a long, 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 shall I say it again, long time, long, since I've seen the outpouring of love in that area. And thank God we don't have a whole lot of funerals, you know, but we do have funerals and things. But it just, the timing all worked out, and it happened to the point where it was a doable thing, and things came together. But anyway, just a wonderful outpouring of the church. And it's not that we did anything per se. I mean, they had the food catered and all of that and brought it in. But just being able to help and touch their lives. It'd be something that'd be nice to do with every, you know, funeral and all. And I know it's not always possible because of the size of the congregation that we are and timing of the week or the day or the scheduling and things like that. But this was, I think, one of those perfect times. You know, we always talk about a perfect storm. This wasn't a storm. This was perfect love. You know, it just worked out. And so I appreciated everyone's help and support yesterday, and the family again acknowledged it this morning when they were here picking up the craft items and all from their mother, and just thanked the church again for your support and help. And it made it easy. So many hands to work, you know. God was good. And it ties into this. You know, the greatest gift we talk about is that of love. I don't care. You can prophesy. You can lay hands and heal. Those are all good things. But if you not have love, doesn't his word say it's like a clanging cymbal? It's like a gong. How many? I don't like clanging cymbals. And if you don't have love, that's what it's all about. It's just everything that you're doing for him is just like, you know, it'd be like these drums. They're not cymbals. Does anybody have cymbals with you? You know, and all that. But it'd be like, you know, I've got all this prophesying and I'm doing all kinds of good things for God, you know, but to God, it's just clatter without love. And we had love appear, and it's been appearing for some time now. I'm not saying we've not been a church of love, compassion, but it was exemplified yesterday and magnified yesterday. And so this kind of ties to that of, you know, we've come out of the root system of God. And back in Ephesians, I'm just going to just run through it real quick and then go in something else here. But in Ephesians 3:17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love. There's where it's at. Your root yesterday, your love shined. Your love and servanthood came up to the surface. It's because of what God has put in you. He's put in you a desire to be a help. He's put in you a desire to, when you see a fellow brother or sister going through something, that you want to step up and say, what can I do? How can I be of help? And so we find that God has put love in us. If we ask for him to put love in us, he will put love in you. You realize, whatever you ask of God to give you or to do for you, or Lord, you know, we always hear people like, oh, Lord, give me patience. He'll give you patience. You may not want to be there to get that patience. I want to kind of gloss over that. I'd rather say, oh, Lord, give me joy. Oh, Lord, give me strength, you know. Patience is one of those things that you have patience, you got to go through some things. But he wants to put, and he has put love in his children. He's put love in his lambs. We're his lamb. So deeply rooted and securely grounded in love. God's love is long. It continues the length of our lives. It is high. It rises to the heights of our celebration. His love is deep. It reaches to the depths of discouragements and despair. That's God's love. But he puts that love in us as well. And you will find with love of God in you, when you hit depths of discouragement and despair, you will sense his love in those times of your trials if you truly have his love deeply rooted in your heart. For so much of the last couple of month or so, this first of the new year, it's growing and developing and rooting things and digging into God and what he has for us. Next place I want to venture to is, let me go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and then 13. I'm going to just read in 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest gift. You know, we talk about all these gifts. Everybody wants gifts. Everybody wants something from God. Give me something that I could use, you know. Give me these things. Oh, my goodness. I want these things. I want these gifts. But we get down to the point of this. In 2, real quick, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Many, many times you've heard this already. Love is the common denominator of that of a Christian and what God wants us to have. I'm going to say if you've got love, all these other things come into being. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing in verse 3. And then 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Or love is not arrogant. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked or thinks no evil. Thinks no evil. It keeps no account of all evil. It's not like you're keeping account and you're going, I'm going to pay that person back good because I'm keeping account of the evil they've done to me. We don't keep account of that. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. What does endure all those things? Love. Look what love is going to do for you. Why would you not want to walk in love and have Christ? If Christ can deeply put his root of love into you, accept it, because with that, love that he gives you will bear all things, believe all things, have hope all things, endures all things. And it comes to this, that love never fails in verse 8. But what will fail? Other gifts and other things that God will give you. And those are all good things to operate in and to have. But folks, first of all, make sure your love is the top of all the list. Because it goes on where it says that this. Love never fails, verse 8. But then it goes on. Whether there are prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there are tongues, they'll cease. Whether there is knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And what this is saying is that all these gifts, once you die and you go to heaven, all those gifts are gone. But what maintains and sustains is that of love. So as we look at this, love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Anybody know imperfect people? Yeah. We know they're not sitting in this room, though. It's that other church. Love is kind, active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is non-possessive and non-competitive. See, sometimes we get possessive and competitive with love. But it shouldn't be that. It actually wants other people to get ahead. Do you desire others to get ahead of where you're at? Lord, don't you, in love of my family, I desire my kids have a better life than I do, or did, or have. I want my kids to be miles ahead of where I'm at, because I want the best for them. We look at people around us, I want the best for you, I want the best for them, whatever the case is. And I know if I can put myself into that mode of, I want the best for them, Lord, there is a thing that how God reciprocates things, he will bless you. You don't understand it, you don't need to understand it. All that God says is you want the best for others, and I'll take care of you. It actually wants other people to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-affecting quality. It is not, I forgot to look up that word. Let's see. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy or rough or hostile, but is graceful under pressure. Love should come out from you when you're under pressure. If love is in you, so what's the old adage is, whatever is in you is going to come out of you. Whatever you've been taught, when the things come up, however you've been taught, that's what's going to come out of you to handle that situation. And if we can allow God's love to soak in us, root in us, in our heart, in our inner being, when we come against even a bad time, hostile time, whatever it might be, chances are love should come out. If you harbor anger and resentment and a get-even attitude, well, that's what, guess what, is going to come out of you to respond to that situation. But that's where he talks about turn the other cheek and things like that, and the meekness will inherit all these things. Meekness is power under control. Love will help us keep power under control, and we realize it's all God anyway. God knows the beginning from the end, everything in between, and he knows me. And if I know him, that he's a good God. Anybody know him as a good God? He wants the best for you. But they're taking advantage of me, God. Well, God will take care of that, and God will take care of you. Do what he's asked you to do. If you need to show love, compassion, just whatever it is, don't try to get back, don't try to get even, don't envy, what, all these things about love. Love is not provoked, it is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but it's graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil, it does not keep an account of the wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentment. Love erases resentment. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others. Well, back in the day, I kind of probably looked at that like, oh, yeah, look at them. But then it gets so on and on. But it says, love hopes all things. Never give up on people. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people. God's love for you is so deep that he never gave up on you. Correct? You guys are pretty scoundrelly. You know, wicked, evil, dastardly. Yeah. No longer. I'm a child of God now. Never give up on people, but affirming their future. Affirming their future. We affirm their future by that of love. We want to try to give them hope. We want to give them encouragement. We want to give them the opportunity to know that you're going through a bad situation now, but it can turn out okay. It can turn out better. You will come through this. You will make it. You will survive. You will. With that of God's help and with the help of us around, people around us, as God works through us with his love, those people, individuals, whatever the case is, situations, they will work through those things. We're there to help them and to guide them and to support them and to be there. Amen. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end. That's out of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, and then footnotes that tie into all of that. Now, we find in love, and this is what I want to kind of look at here, we all have rough edges. You know, we're not all perfect. But for the most part, you know, all of our lives hopefully exemplifies the things of God. Hebrews 13, 16. But it says, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And that goes for a person that gives, a person that is willing to do for others. Remember, the actions that we do speak volumes of what Christ is in us. They could care less if you want to quote scriptures and say this and that and thou thus and all that. But they see love. They see God's love in action. So as I look at that, you know, we're thinking of this 1 Corinthians, this scriptures and all. Paul is giving advice to the Corinthians that love is more important than all the spiritual gifts exercised in the church body. We always think people out here, it's my service of this. It's, well, I'm doing this. Well, I'm taking this. Well, I'm doing that. Well, I'm doing... No, every one of them is important, okay? Every one of them in the church body is important. We find that he is saying that great faith, acts of dedication or sacrifice, and miracle-working power have little effect without love. It's great if you want to volunteer and do something, but you do it grungily, like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to do this. Nobody else is here. Well, you're not doing it in love. It's feeling like you're doing it because you feel like God's pressed on you to do it. It's like giving. Give joyfully. Don't give begrudgingly. I don't want you to give anything financially into this church if it says, oh, I'm just giving because they just want it. And they always, blah, blah, blah. No, keep it. But if you give, give joyfully. He loves a cheerful giver. Why is it in his word? Because we know that those things happen and we look around. God wants us cheerful. God wants us joyful. God wants us loving the things of his kingdom. And it's all part and parcel of what his is all about. My goodness. But without love, they're nothing. Gifting is different for each person. Paul here is sharing that love is available to everyone. Everyone out here may have a different gift. Well, I can cut a board straighter. I can hammer better. I can put a toilet in better. I can put the handrail up straighter. I can do that. Oh, I can do this. I can lay hands. We can do all these things. But if it doesn't have the core value of love, it ain't nothing. It's just like that gong, clanging cymbal, whatever. Everything we do for God is love. When we serve our fellow man, it's love. It's the work of God working in us that people see the love. And a lot of times, it really speaks to somebody that may have treated you a little wrong to the point of where you show love. But here again, I like this. Gifting is different for each person. You know, I think Danny, you share that sometimes. We say, well, people will say, well, that ain't my gift, you know. Well, true, it's not your gift, but I'm going to tell you what, you better have love. Can you imagine somebody say, well, I don't have that love. Well, then you don't have the love of Christ. You know, I don't care. You might say, well, I'm not gifted in this. That's true. We're not all gifted in those things. But out of love, out of sacrifice, you may do it. Just because you're not gifted doesn't mean you can't do it. May not be your cup of tea, your forte, or whatever you like, but it's like sometimes you have to kind of give that up, you know. Love is available to everyone. We find in our society, it confuses love with lust. God's kind of love is outward to others. Love to others is outward. God wants us to share his love outward, not inward. This type of love we are speaking of is unselfish love. The problem with God following God's love example is that it goes against our natural inclination. The only way we can really achieve his love, or this love we're speaking of, is that Paul is sharing about, is with God's help. I'm going to say this, that we think we can't do it. I'm going to tell you, you're right. You can't do it. Oh, I just can't love like that, God. Okay, ask God to help you, and he'll give you the ability to do it. Lord, my love is not like your love. Well, he says, you're right. Because most of us, after about 2 or 3 times talking to somebody and we don't feel they're going the right way, we just say, off with them. You know? Let's go to whatever. But God's love is patient. God's love is enduring. God's love will lay himself down to whatever it takes. He will work with a person until that last breath, you know, talking about salvation, the good news, and all of these things. We are not to give up on anybody on this side of heaven, even though we don't think they're receiving what we're sharing. You know, we talked in Sunday school here a little bit about in Proverbs and scoffers and things. We share the love of God. We share these things, and we may still have people scoffing at us. They might say, oh, boy, ain't that, that's a silly Christian. Look at that. You can get anything over their wool over their eyes, you know. Well, you might get them over my eyes, but you're not getting it over God's eyes. And God is my avenger. God will take care of me. God knows my heart. And we got to keep a pure heart, a pure heart. If we can keep love in our heart, rooted in Ephesians, God's rooted love in our heart, that will come out. Whatever is in will come out. The old adage in, garbage out. Love in, love out. Hate in, hate out. Let's get to that point to where what I've got coming in is God's love. Let it root in me deep to where when it does, it's his love. And they say, well, thank you. And a lot of times it's just like, well, you're welcome. But I'm serving God. By me serving God, I'm serving you. See, that's the whole thing. Remember way back when I began this, when I stood here, one of the first few messages I shared, I looked at you people out there, and there's a few more different ones here and there and that and all that. And I said, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm not here to please you. Because, you know, I think pastors, we gotta please everybody. We gotta make sure, are you happy with me? Am I doing okay with you? Am I your friend? I ain't gonna worry about that. Because right after that I said, but I am to please my God. And he's placed me here at this point and juncture of time in my life and my timetable and where I'm at. And to get me into this level, all I did to get here was, Lord, I will do anything you ask me to do. I want to serve you and be used by you. And I think if a lot of pastors can keep that thought process rather than trying to think they got to be a people congregation pleaser, it's like, I ain't running after nobody. You know? Yeah, they know where the church is at. They know where the numbers are at. They know I can contact and this and that, but it's a two-way street and it's things, and I'll pray for them. Just because I don't call you or check on you doesn't mean I'm not praying for you. There's many people at night, in the evening, I wake up, you know, whatever time. If I can't go to sleep at 2 o'clock, I get up. It's like, okay, I'll pray for this. Maybe 5 people, 3 people, 2 people, whatever the case is. So just because there's not a personal contact doesn't mean there's not a contact made in heaven for you. That's the care and the love of a pastor. That's the love and the care of the congregation. You too out there may not need to call the person, but you pray when the Lord puts that name or that thought in your spirit. I think that's showing the love. And yeah, we need to call and all that, not to do that. But I'm just saying, there's a lot more to it than that. But what I want to do, I think what you want to do, is to be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. And we have a lot of pastors chasing people around because they got to keep their numbers up. They got to keep the funding coming in. They got to keep this. They got to keep, oh, if I go down, what's going to happen? God put it here. God will take it away. God plants, God harvests. There's a season of great churches doing great things, and I believe there's a time at times where God will say the work of a particular church is done, it's fulfilled what I wanted it to do, and it's taken away. Doesn't mean that congregation failed, doesn't mean that church failed, the people failed, or anything like that. Now, there's a lot of instances out there and a lot of things going on, I'm not saying that, but when a church is trying to do what it is to do by loving people, showing compassion, opening their hearts to the people, no matter what they look like, God is pleased with that. But he doesn't want us to think like, well, I'm going to be nice to that person because, man, I know they got a nice big bank account. Oh, there's a motive there that you don't want to get into. A lot of people do that. A lot of big things happen out there like that. I find it much easier to get in life and to go through life realizing no matter what comes in through compensation from this church that my God is my source. I love God. He loves me. I love God. I want to love you through that of what Christ is like. And so when you get to that parameter of everything is God's, I want to serve him. I want his love in me. It's like I think that's what he's wanting from all of us is not to try to make things as though they're not. You know, we want to do what we can do. I just want it to be outward. I want it to be where people understand that I love you. I do love you, and I do pray for you, but I want to serve my God and get his acknowledgement to say, well done. You might say, Pastor, that was a great service. That was a wonderful thing. Well, thank you for that, but I always keep saying, like, when you share God's word, you can, it's hard not to be good. And it's not my word, it's his word anyway. So give God the glory. Hallelujah. You know? So it's the greatest thing. I just want my God to say, well done. I just want my God to say, and I'm going to tell you, it's not waiting until I get to heaven that I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Have you ever heard God speak to you here on this earth and say something like, that was good that you did. That was, I liked that. And then a lot of times, there's many times, even before he says that, if I am involved in some situation, I will always ask him, Lord, I hope I pleased you. I hope I brought honor to you. Because that's what it's all about. No matter what our motives here on this earth are, our motives need to be motivated by love. God's love to those around us. So that my God can smile down and say, that's it. That's what I want. That's what that person needed to hear. That's what that person needed to feel. That's what. Because he will tell you he's pleased with you even before you get to heaven. He'll let you know by the Spirit. And then you're like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. The only way that we can really achieve the love that we're speaking of and that Paul is speaking about is that we need to become more like Christ in the area of love. The more love we show to those around us, and then not expecting anything in return for us giving our love back to them. But God will honor and God will provide and God will take care of. But we just need to walk in that love and be open to that and be led by love. Not expecting anything in return for us giving them our love. God gives us spiritual gifts in order to build up, to serve, and to strengthen other Christians, or to strengthen the church. These spiritual gifts will come to an end in eternity because we'll no longer need them. But what sustains and what goes on is love. Now, you'll find that, and this happened this morning, I got up and I was thinking more about this, and I started looking at love. Love is tied into hospitality. Hospitality is like the love, too, in some respects. Nelson's Bible Dictionary says, the practice of entertaining strangers graciously. Hospitality was a very important trait in the Bible times. New Testament Greek translates hospitality, which literally means love of strangers. Romans 12:13, it talks about behaving like that of a Christian. Let love be without hypocrisy. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate. Blah, blah, blah. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, there's that patient, steadfastly in prayer. And then here in 13, distributing to the needs of the saints given to hospitality. So I ran across that. And then I got over here in the Bible Dictionary talking about in Romans 12:13, hospitality means love of strangers. In the Old Testament, Abraham was the host to angels, unaware that he invited strangers into his house to wash their feet, to prepare a meal. He had Sarah bake bread. You know, he accompanied them as they left. That's in Genesis 18:1-15. But here again, entertaining the angels. We talk about, you know, when people come and you never know if you're entertaining an angel, you know. And that's an interesting thing there. Cambridge Dictionary for Hospitality says this, the act of being friendly and welcoming to guests and visitors. Kindness and friendly behavior, especially to guests. Hospitality can be defined as the quality or the disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way. I've already shared this in the New Testament about the Greek word hospitality is translated literally love of strangers. Hospitality is a virtue that is both commanded and commended throughout the Scriptures. Christians are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, Ephesians 2:10. As followers of Christ, we emulate his love and compassion when we show what? Hospitality. Not only to fellow Christians, but even more to strangers. The more that we can open up to those outside our realm shows more of our hospitality, more of our love, more of Christ in us. Christ doesn't have a select group of people that he wants to be Christ for or lard for. It started out for that of the Jewish, but now Gentiles, because he was rejected and all, we were able to fall into that and we've been grafted in. So the love of Christ is for all of us. Christ also taught us the second greatest commandment is what? In Matthew 22:39. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us that neighbor has nothing to do with a geography or a citizenship or a race. Wherever and whenever people need us, there can be neighbors. There we can be neighbors, and like Christ, we can show mercy. This is the essence of hospitality. And it goes on, and we look at these things in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus discusses the hospitality behavior of those who will inherit the kingdom. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me. In these days, we often don't think about entertaining strangers, but hospitality is still an important part of the ministry of being that of a Christian. By serving others, we are serving Christ, and we promote the spread of God's truth. They will know we are Christians by our love. You even have little choruses out there like that. So don't you want people to notice you by your love? I don't want them to notice me for, they will know we are Christians by my prophecy, by my healing of that of whoever. No, they'll know that we are Christians by our love, because love is something that is not easy to have in this world, but it's something that will stand out above everything in this world, because we don't love as the world loves. Love, we can say love, we can say hospitality. Our hospitality is not like that of the world. You know, when you go to a resort or you go to a motel or a place, and high-priced as well, they've got a lot of things set in place for hospitality to do what? To make your stay there comfortable, to make your stay there memorable, to take care of you like, you know, you deserve. You're here, you're spending whatever, blah, 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 blah. We're gonna take care of you. Paul, you guys have been on so many trips and things on cruise lines and all. They got the hospitality on those things is a big part of their business. Making sure everybody is satisfied, making sure they're being treated like, you know, the top guest. We want to make you feel important. We want to make you feel like we are caring for you. We want you to have a memorable journey. We want you to, when you get off of this, we want you to share with other people how you were treated here and how we are as a cruise line or how we were at this resort. Word of mouth. That of a Christian, as we show love and hospitality, people, who knows what will be shared from yesterday to those around the community. And it's not that we do to get, amen? I don't do to get. I do to show love of Christ and let God take it from there. But people will respond as far as different things, but they will also respond negatively. And advertising and all that, you can spend zillions and, you know, big bucks for advertising, but just let three or four bad things happen and the negativity will outweigh anything that you hear positive about a particular brand, company, or whatever the case is. Word of mouth. So as a hospitality of a church, as we have visitors come in, we want to show love, genuine love, not fabricated love, the love of Christ. We want people to feel like, I've been in the presence of love that I've not felt before. Well, that's good, because it's the love of Christ working through us. Because as His, we want Him to be glorified. We want Him to get the accolades. Why do you do this? Because I want to serve my God. My God loved me so that I can love others. And if we keep that on the forefront of how we respond to things in our family, neighbors, friends, work, whatever, you might be, you know, taken advantage of here and there, but that happens. But God will take care of you, and God is there for you. Amen? In John 15, greater love, in John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Talks about here in a pathway of dynamics of this thing. Our priority is to love one another. Our pathway is to love as Christ loved us, laying down his life. Who can measure this love? Christ gave up the comforts of joys, adoration of heaven to be soiled of that of the earth and to carry the sins of sinners. His bearing of agonizing pain through bearings of nails, or beatings, I should say, through beatings and nails in the hands, the spear in his side, the thorns on his head, all exemplify the measure of his love. Anybody been speared? Anybody been beaten? Anybody? No. And we think we got it bad sometimes when we don't get love shown to us. All exemplify the measure of his love. We find his love, but we also see his manner of loving and are called to bear with others. Sins, with inflicted pain, with the stabbing, cruel remarks, treatment, whatever, impossible. Yes, it is impossible to the human nature. But as new temples, here we are, of what? The Holy Spirit. We're a new creation, Holy Spirit in us, who has poured out the love of God into our hearts. The Holy Spirit's poured out love into our hearts. Ephesians talks about rooted in the heart, God's love rooted in your heart. By the love of God into our hearts, we can ask for and receive the grace and the guidance to love as Jesus loved. You can do it. You can do it. You almost want to say, I can love just like Jesus loved. Because Jesus is in me. Through that of the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, I will have that love in me. Now, I'm not perfect. I wish love poured out of me a lot more than it does. But I'm on a trail, I'm on the path of trying to get better. How about you? And if we'd at least know these things, can't we at least work on these things? And if we don't know them, we won't work on them, and then we get surprised, like, oh, really? That's what I should have been doing? Yeah, love, love, love. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful. Your word is true. Your word will get us through these days that we're in. Lord, I again thank you that you can pour your love in us, and I pray that we don't keep it in, but that we pour it out. Let your love flow through us. Let us be an example of you to those around us. Lord, let us do like that of Jesus says, that I don't do or say nothing unless it glorifies God, my Heavenly Father. If we can walk in that thought process of what we're doing, we just want to bring glory to you. We just want to honor you. And Lord, I ask a special blessing on those hands that were here yesterday. You know who they were and the work and the servanthood that they performed. Bless them, Lord. Keep them strong. We praise you for it. I love you, Lord. I know you love me. I know that. And Lord, I just want to continue to do what I can do to pour out that love to others around us. I pray, Lord, that they can see you in some way of us. I pray that we show you more than we show ourselves. Give us the strength. Give us that ability. We love because you first loved us. Praise you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.